At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
The playoffs are rolling along and singing a song, and we've got some exciting hockey being played in the National Hockey League. Drew Remenda, we've had some amazing games go seesaw, teeter-totter. None better, perhaps, than that Vegas-Dallas series.
Yeah, what a series. Two terrific teams. It is heavy, hard played, mean at times, like last night's game. Game five, where Dallas was able to take the lead in the series. It got a little nasty. It's been terrific series. And what you're seeing with that series is kind of what we would think playoff hockey's about, right? Low scoring, hard checking, really physical, good goaltending on both ends. Aiden Hill back in net now for Vegas after Logan Thompson lost the last two games. And now Vegas has lost three in a row. So really interesting. Dallas has got some momentum in this series. But boy, that's been a fun game to watch. Those games have been really good. And it's kind of a shame that one of those teams is going to be out in the first round because they're both such terrific teams.
Well, you've got the Stanley Cup champions. Then you got the team with the best record in the Western Conference in the Dallas Stars. You've got Joe Pavelski, Pete DeBoer, Steve Spott on one side. You got Aiden Hill and you've got Tomas Hertl on the other. So from a Sharks person's perspective, whether you're a player, coach, fan, or broadcaster, a lot to be interested in this particular contest and a lot of more of the same, as in the very critical game. A home team actually won in the series, but it didn't start out that way for Dallas.
One by Stevenson. To the left wall, Jack Eichel. A point in every game this series. Low to high, finds Hanifin. Lefty shoots. Score! Redirection in front, and the Knights take a 1-0 lead. Mark Stone between the circles. It's like an instant replay of game one. Vegas has a power play goal 4 minutes in. It took only 9 seconds on the power play after Stevenson got it out to the point. Hanifin with the wrist shot off of Mark Stone in front with Hertl right in front of Jake Ottinger, the goalie.
And they win the draw, and Hanifin, it is just a floater. And you're exactly right. It is. Hertl is all over right in front of Ottinger, and Stone gets the high tip.
Well, that was a pretty good description of everything that happened. And how about that with Tomas Hertl in front of the net again? But right after that, another guy that's rising to the top of the cream level in the playoffs, Yevgeny Dodonov, comes up with this one.
And now Ben through center from Johnston, back to Stankovic. Over to Johnston, good stick though by Theodore to turn things the other way for Marchessault. A take back by Heiskanen. Johnston flips it ahead. Stankovic with Dodonov going to the net. Stankovic out in front!
Here it looks like he's getting shot out of the cannon off of the wall. Stankoven does a great job too. The patience, forehand to backhand, slides the pass over, and Dodonov roofs it underneath the bar to beat Hill.
That was Bob Wisicin with Ray Ferraro on the call for ESPN. And Drew, how many times have we been in that building in Dallas and have had to sit through that horn?
Yeah, and then Dallas Stars, but that was a hell of a play. Hey, Logan Stankoven is. He's a player, man. He is a player. And that play was a gorgeous, gorgeous goal and a nice retaliation goal to the one that just got scored on them.
By the way, how about what Pete DeBoer said about Stankoven and also Wyatt Johnson in this playoff cauldron atmosphere?
Yeah, I thought he might have been our best player tonight. You know, both those kids were outstanding again, but he was, I thought he was on the puck all night, hounding, moving his feet, could have had a couple goals, created a big goal for us. those kids have really made a big contribution for us.
You need your kids. You need your role players. He was speaking mostly there about Logan Stankoven, who's not the biggest guy. He's kind of another Cliff Ronning type of a player. But, boy, he has been effective ever since his recall from the AHL.
He's quick. He moves his feet well. He gets back into the inside position. He always seems to be in the right place where the puck is. He seems to be there. He is really a smart player. You can tell his hockey IQ is high just on that pass he made. That's throwing that puck to the area, seeing that your man is skating, your teammate is skating off the puck, driving that middle. You know, Brett Hedekin talks about skate throughs all the time. Well, that was a major league skate through. Bing, hit the gap. Beautiful finish to the goal. But Stankoven has been one of the best players in the series for either team.
That he has been. And, of course, the game continued. There was another lead. Then Will Carrier picked it back up for Vegas.
Knights on it. Barbashev protects the breakout. A little head fake from Carrier to gain the zone. And down to the trapezoid he goes with the puck. Gets to the side of the net. He stops and scores! William Carrier, spinorama from the trapezoid, out to the right post. The lefty hammers it home. Vegas ties it 2-2. William Carrier's first point of the postseason. And the sixth goal of his playoff career. 2-2 tie with 7:29 to go in the first period.
Pretty tight moment right there for Vegas getting back in the game. These guys are the Stanley Cup champions. They're not going to just sort of roll over and play dead in any contest. And, of course, this pretty critical one on the road, they were pretty confident they could play in Dallas. They came right back.
Yeah, they nice response goal there as well. I thought in the first period, Dallas had a lot of trouble with Vegas and the big bodies getting to the middle of the ice in their zone. I thought that the Vegas Golden Knights did an outstanding job of getting and putting traffic in front of Ottinger. And Dallas recovered from that. But Vegas is a hard team to contain when they decide they're going to the net.
Of course, it was a young man named Robertson who always seems to be in the right place at the right time. And the right place was the game winner.
Hero Haskinen, now Jason Robertson. Thought about a seam pass. Instead, it's Ben. A stick in the way from McNabb. Haskinen. Robertson. Right between the dots. That shot blocked. Another try. Score! Four down on the power play. Dallas has the lead.
Dallas Stars, and Vegas just backs off. Robertson lets him get to the middle of the ice. The initial shot is blocked, and since that's blocked, Hill's looking for that first shot. He's out of place. Is that
kind of interesting when you listen to that? That's a power play goal that proved to be the game winner, and it was on a penalty by Alex Pietrangelo, which was pretty critical. Two games in a row now they've lost because of Pietrangelo penalties. And after the game, Bruce Cassidy, the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, was asked if he was surprised or disappointed by that fact.
Veteran guy should know better. That, listen, we didn't like the hit on Theodore Bice again. Quite obvious, left his feet, targeted the head. So you're going to be upset, right? But that's playoff hockey. You got to find a way to channel it. And then, you know, there's controlled aggression out there all over the ice in every series. So that's an area you've got to take a number and, you know, try to get those things squared away lately. Listen, Dallas went through it last year, right? Ben got thrown out, if you remember. And so there's a little bit of a learning curve that goes into it. And we should know better, to go back to your question, but it happens. And we've got one more game, obviously, to get it squared away, because margins are too thin right now, especially their power play. It's going well, the way they operate their power play. A guy like Nick Hag, was a long body, can help defend how they throw pucks at the net. We don't have them available, so it even gives them another advantage. So we're going to have to make some adjustments on how we kill. I thought we did, as the game went on, did a better job. Obviously, the last goal, Robertson just made a nice play to find space. But going back to your question, that we have to take care of our discipline. Just have to. It's that simple.
So Bruce Cassidy not too happy with Mr. Pietrangelo on that one. And, of course, Pete DeBoer was talking about it too, and also referenced that experience with Jamie Benn getting suspended in the last season series. He just says you have to have a control of your emotions.
Yeah, you know what? There was a lot going on in that game. There was a lot of emotions both ways. You know, some questionable hits, not questionable hits, some calls. So, you know, I think it's all about managing it. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to get all those calls to go your way. And, you know, I thought our group managed the emotions of the game tonight really well.
Well, they sure did, and that's why they've got a 3-2 lead in the series. But, Drew, you know, you talk to some of those veteran people inside that Vegas locker room. They've been through this before, but they're showing, well, maybe they weren't too happy about the way things transpired in this game. Alec Martinez is a guy who scored a game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup Finals for the LA Kings. In fact, a cup-winning goal.
Series,
and he talked about what changed for Dallas now as this thing heads back to Vegas for Game 6.
You know, I said it before the game, there's going to be momentum shifts, you know, throughout games and throughout series. And you got to handle that with composure. And I think we got, you know, we let our emotions get the best of us in the second there. It was obviously penalty trouble, but, you know, we got away from our game. I think had a little too much panic in our game, a little bit too much of a fire drill. I mean, we just got to handle the emotional side of it.
And he talked about the penalty that was taken by Pietrangelo.
You said it. He's a leader on this team. You know, playoffs are an emotional time. It's a revved up environment. Can't win without emotion either, but you got to keep it in check.
Isn't it fascinating to listen to this, that these are teams that are at the top of the league, and we're hearing some of the same things that we heard all year?
Yeah. So why Pietrangelo took the penalty on Tyler Seguin was because Seguin went for a hit on Theodore. And first off, Bruce Cassidy, for crying out loud, you cannot leave your feet. It is physically impossible to leave your feet. Can we get that out of the vernacular of the National Hockey League?
I'd be happy to take it out. I didn't say it.
I know, Bruce Cassidy did. And so many people still say it. Anyway, you know my pet peeve. And I don't think he targeted the head at all. In fact, I think it was Shane Knighty doing the Vegas broadcast. The original call was 5 minutes. Then they reviewed it. He was down to 2 minutes. He actually got Theodore dodged out of the way on the chin with his back on the hit. So I didn't think he targeted the head at all. 2 minutes was the right call. Then shift after he comes out of the penalty box, he goes in the boards with Pietrangelo. Pietrangelo just spins wheels and does a spinning backhand, catches him in the mouth. Down Seguin goes. They put that up at 5 minutes, then reviewed it to a 2-minuter. And then that's where Robertson scored. Now, Pietrangelo plays on the edge. I'd put that guy in my team any day of the week. I'd rather have a guy I got to pull back from the edge than push to it. But the emotion, and Danny, you know as well as I do, the emotion during the Stanley Cup playoffs, it borders on playing with emotion and being emotional. And I always believe that if you're playing with emotion, you've got everything in check and you've got the right amount of energy and juice going. But when you're emotional, that means you've lost control and the emotion has you. And that's what, for a second, Pietrangelo got emotional and it cost his team.
But it wasn't just the power play and the penalty killing. Obviously, 5-on-5, you got to be really strong. And Bruce Cassidy, the coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, talked about the 5-on-5 play.
Well, the rush game for both teams, I think, hasn't been what you normally see during the year. They got a few looks in the second period. They got behind us. As I said, they're throwing some pucks out in the neutral zone winning races. They got, I think it was Dadonov, got behind our D once. The other time we just mishandled the puck, right? I mean, we just overskated it. We thought we were going one way, kept them in a change, and off it went. So that's puck management. Offensively, getting out of their swarm. I thought in the third period, both games, we've done a better job trying to find the open guy, and then whether it's a D-man attacking. I think we had a couple of opportunities to make something happen. We turned down shots or didn't get the rebound or didn't hit the net. So that's part of it. Power play scored for us tonight. I thought had some good looks, so we got more opportunities on that. Sometimes it's just finishing, right? You run into goaltenders that are playing well, and I think if you look at this series, it's been a well-goaltended series in general. I don't think you could say that Hilly tonight and Logan or Ottinger's had a poor game.
Well, Hill made some pretty good saves in his first start, and here are a couple.
Theodore challenging, but triple-teamed, he loses the puck. Rope hits coming ahead. Hintz, defended by Petrangelo, right to the goal. Save, Hill. And Theodore there to steer it away from the crease.
That was a pretty good stop right there.
Joe Pavelski. Makes it behind. Robertson, power move, save, rebound through the crease and out the back door.
However, the best save of the game was made by Jake Ottinger, one of the best of the playoffs.
Going behind his own net, Petrangelo almost knocked over. Stone sends the puck ahead. Stevenson down the middle. Stopped. Right pad save by Ottinger. Looked like Stevenson was held going down on the breakaway. Still got a shot off, but no penalty was called.
And all of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan was holding its breath on that play. But unfortunately for that, the Paris of the Prairies, it went the way of Jake Ottinger, who I thought was remarkable on that play.
He was. Chandler makes a nice move. Chandler's a great skater. Gets in, goes backhand forehand, and Ottinger goes splits. He goes straight down the splits, kicks the right leg out, and Chandler didn't have anywhere to go. Really great save. Just outstanding.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And on the other side of the ice, Bruce Cassidy thought that Aiden Hill was pretty solid in his first game in spite of taking a loss.
I thought he was good. You know, it's a tough way to start a 2-on-1 power play goal. They do that well. They get people around the net. You know, it's a deflection, that loose puck. He's reacting to the original shot, and they swat at it. So, and the last goal was a nice shot. I mean, they came over again, a shot block that they came out of the pile, make a nice creative play. Second period, made some odd man rush stops. So, listen, he gave us a chance to win. Did his job, and as I said, well goaltended series. And you know, their guy made a big save on Stevie, right? That you know, some big saves during the game, and that's why it ends up a one goal game, and we just got to finish a little better. Like I said, I thought he played well.
Meanwhile, Pete DeBoer, the coach of the Dallas Stars, was talking about Ottinger's save, and he said it doesn't surprise him because for some reason Ottinger seems to find that little extra in the biggest games.
Yeah, you know, he's had a history. When I look back just on my time with him last year, you know, he really has the ability to go to another level at the most important time of a game, regardless of what's happened earlier in the game. And, you know, that was the third period tonight. That was the third period the other night. You know, he's got that mentality that great goaltenders do, that they can go to that next level at the most important point of the game.
Sure, we talked about this a couple of episodes ago, where Ottinger seems to be a lot like Martin Jones in that he finds a little bit extra in the biggest games, even if he's had an up-and-down season.
Very young guy, too. Let's remember that. I mean, he's not been in the league that long where you can have that the ability to rise. Usually that's a learned trait, but he is a... You know, we talked about the clutch gene the other day. I'm a big believer in the clutch gene. I think that just is, and you mentioned that it's something that you develop over time, but you have to have that mentality. And I think Ottinger has it. He's gotten better as this series has gone on.
So now what do you have to look forward to? What about the rest of this series? Well, it's just one game. You got to win it. And you have a Stanley Cup championship to hang your hat on if you're the Vegas Golden Knights. What does Bruce Cassidy think of that?
Well, I still think these last two games that, you know, we're right there. And in the second period, late again, got away from us for puck management and discipline and allowed them to get going. So we'll hang our hat on the other stuff that, you know, we feel we're playing a pretty good game. When we manage the puck and make the plays that are in front of us, they're never going to be perfect. They're quick. They're a team that gets on you. We obviously have to make a few adjustments on them leaving the zone early, how we can manage that better. But I thought when they were doing that, when we got the puck and collected it and, you know, sort of countered quickly, we were pretty good. We were going. So there's give and take with when you do that. And they got some opportunities. I thought we did because of that. So we'll hang our hats on the fact that we're the defending Stanley Cup champion. So there's lots of resolve in that room, a lot of winners in that room, a lot of pride in that room. So we got to go home and win one game at home in the playoffs. I mean, we should be able to, you know, that's something we're certainly capable of. Will it happen? Dallas is going to have a lot of say in that. So it's not this obstacle that we can't do. It's a home win. So let's get after it, get some rest tomorrow, and be ready to go.
Well, Pete DeBoer talked about getting a home win finally. Now all he really needs is to go back to Dallas and win one.
Obviously critical. I mean, we're a good home team. We take pride in playing at home all year. I think we have the best crowds in the league here, as you saw tonight, and the building's electric. And, you know, it's a little uncharacteristic of us to lose the first two at home. I'm not even sure we deserve to lose two, but we did. But credit to our group. You know, there wasn't a lot of believers at that point, and we went on the road into a tough environment and, you know, kind of rolled up our sleeves and went to work. And, you know, you look up and 6 days later, you got a 3-2 lead and a chance to close out the Stanley Cup champion. So work's not done yet. We've got some heavy lifting to do, but just proud of our group.
It's going to be a really heavy lift in Vegas, but boy, you can just sense the confidence there. You can sense maybe a little bit of the desperation on the other side from Bruce Cassidy and members of the Vegas Golden Knights. I think game six is going to be a classic.
It's going to be huge. I mean, think about this. Vegas won the first two games in Dallas. You are reeling after that. If you are the Dallas Stars, you're going, what is going on? They have been, as Pete said, a great home team. And they've lost the first two games. And they have to go into Vegas, the Stanley Cup champs. And we all know what that rink's like. And they win two, and then they win the next one. They've won three in a row now. And that makes, you know, I don't believe momentum carries from game to game, but in the heads of the Dallas Stars, they've got to be feeling pretty good about what they've done. But, you know, as well as I do, Danny, can't feel too good until the job's done.
No, you can't, but I'm really looking forward to that one. And of course, if I'm Dallas, I want to close this baby out in six and not deal with game seven, in spite of the fact that Pete DeBoer is undefeated in game seven in his playoff career.
Is he really?
He's never lost one.
Wow, that's pretty darn good.
Including the game against Vegas back in 2019.
Exactly. Very nice. That's a good one.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Of course, when he went to the Stanley Cup final, it didn't get to game seven. So it's going to be interesting. And again, who do you root for, right? You know, for me, it's Joe Pavelski, DeBoer spot against Hurdle and Aiden Hill. My attitude is I want the 39-year-old Pavelski to get a Stanley Cup before his career is over.
Yeah, that's Pavs has got a soft spot in our hearts, without a doubt. So kind of cheering for Pavs. And Mason Marchment, too. I'd love to see Mace get back in the lineup because he's dealing with an injury. I'd love to see the Marchment family have a Stanley Cup as well.
By the way, what do you make of the fact that this series is so great in spite of the fact that some pretty critical players are out for both teams?
Well, it just shows you how deep and talented these teams are, right? It shows you where you got to get to. It shows you that you need more than just top guys to be in the lineup. You've got to have everybody, and everybody has to find a way to contribute.
We are looking forward to an outstanding game number six in that series, and who knows, maybe even a game seven.
We continue now with the Sharks Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We go to the Toronto-Boston series to chat about the run on razor blades in the city of Toronto at this point, with the Maple Leafs staying alive, getting a victory, and somehow sneaking past and getting a win to keep it there. But boy, everybody is really nervous in Toronto. And after practice yesterday, Sheldon Keefe, the head coach of the team, talked about what's ahead.
We just have to accept and recognize there's only one way for us to win and play in the playoffs, and that's how we played last night. And that's the approach that we had, and no matter what the venue is, that's how you need to play. That's what's required.
They need a little bit more at home, the way they've been playing over there, and Keefe talked about what was needed and how the practice went and whether he feels his players are ready.
I think the guys feel good, you know, about the performance and the result. Happy coming in here today with, you know, another game to prepare for on the schedule. That's really it. We've earned another day here. But, you know, we're still in a battle. Like that certainly has not changed. We've gotten the opponent's attention here now, so tomorrow's going to be an even tougher night. But like I said, there's one way to go about it, and that's how we've played in our last two road games. That's playoff hockey. That's what's required. And
that's Sheldon Keefe at practice yesterday talking about the game that is tonight as we record this show. Jim Montgomery, after the last game, however, was not in as good a mood.
We weren't good enough. Just simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Toronto came out ready to play. They took it to us. We weren't ready to match their desperation.
And they're going to have to match the desperation. Right. Don't forget, Boston had a 3-1 lead on Florida last year. and they lost after having the greatest season in the history of the NHL in the regular season. And they're worried about that happening again right now.
Boston's lost the last three or four games in the postseason in overtime that they've played. And they did. They had Florida down 3-1, and they lost in game five. And they weren't – Jim Montgomery's 100% right. They weren't even close to being ready in that game. They didn't make a play. And you know who's been conspicuously ineffective? Pastrnak. He hasn't done much. Marchand's the guy running the show. And the top guys for Toronto are basically – they are completely inconspicuous in their game. They are horrible.
Well, there were Austin Matthews was last game, not even in the game.
Yeah, not even in the game. He might not be in game six tonight.
What's going on there? Is he sick? What's the story?
Well, he got pulled. So it was he played a great game too. So it was game four, I think it was, where he got after the second period pulled by the doctors. Now they're not saying anything at typical NHL playoffs, but Many are thinking it might have been a concussion, a hit that he took. Many are thinking that he was sick. Some think it was a cardiac episode. We're all speculating. Nobody knows anything. But the fact that doctors pulled him out of the game made me think it might have been a concussion. But the interesting thing, too, is going into this game, it's back in Toronto, and the Leafs since last season are 0-6 in playoff home games. And Boston's, I think, 4-0 in Toronto this year. So maybe it swings again.
The last thing that the Maple Leafs, or I should say the last thing the Bruins want to do is go back to game seven at home. But the Maple Leafs obviously are desperate to do that. I think it's setting up for a fantastic matchup. And I'm kind of hoping we're going to get a game seven again, just to really tweak the whole psyches of both cities, because they're both really desperate to keep moving on.
Oh, can you imagine if Boston gives up this game tonight as we're recording this? They will be, and talk about how desperate and how angst-ridden people will be. It will be ridiculous in Beantown. So they got to play much better than they did. They were just simply outworked. It was best game Toronto played.
No angst in Edmonton, however, as the Oilers managed to outlast the Los Angeles Kings. I just want to say kudos to Los Angeles for coming back and trying to fight in that game after falling behind. Evander Kane scores a goal in that contest that gets things going. I had a feeling that once that goal was scored, it was going to be awfully tough for Los Angeles to come back. Leon Draisaitl getting larger, as we like to say, as the playoffs go on. And two really, really nice goals for him. I thought that Edmonton played well.
They really did. Their power play took over. They got three on the power play. They were terrific in that regard. You cannot take penalties against Edmonton. They're just too dangerous. Too much puck movement, too much player movement. And you've got Draisaitl with that one-timer from wherever he decides to set up on his off wing. He's amazing that way. I thought it was really funny, though, watching the handshakes at the end, watching Jimmy Hillier and Trent Yanni, who have now lost three times in a row to the Edmonton Oilers in the playoffs. The handshakes were not, hey, buddy, congratulations, way to go. Trent Yanni, I was heartbroken for Yanns. I really was. But it's the Edmonton Oilers were a better team. That series wasn't a surprise. The ending was not a surprise to any of us.
Well, the team that they're going to play is either Vancouver or Nashville. Vancouver leads that series 3-2. Another really, really solid series. I think I still am kind of pulling a little bit for Nashville to give Vancouver a learning experience, but you got to tip your hockey helmets to the Canucks the way they've held in there.
Three goalies they've used, Danny. Three goalies.
Artur Seeloffs, another Latvian.
Yeah, exactly. Big guy, too. You got good size. And I like the way he's played. But Nashville, that was a 1-1 game. It was a 1-0 game in the third. Zadorov scores. And then Nashville came storming back, that no-quit attitude they've got. They're veteran guys. Man, I love their veteran guys, how they just lead the way. And overall, with that thing, the power play, which slid for the Canucks near the end of the season, has not taken effect. Pedersen's, I don't know if he's hurt, Danny, or sick, but he's
not there.
Yeah, he's not there. But It's been a good series, harder series, tougher series than I think the Canucks were prepared for.
Florida wins their series with Tampa 4-1. Rangers sitting around after sweeping Washington, and Carolina ended up beating the New York Islanders 4-1. Those are some of the other series. But yeah. Final thought, Colorado and Winnipeg. One thing that Colorado has done is they have shown that one of the aspects of good defense is holding on to the puck. That's why they have been such a good team, because they have had puck possession. It's one of the things that challenged Winnipeg, and it's one of the things that's going to challenge the teams the rest of the way. That's come to an end of episode 3 of yet another outstanding playoff report. Our thanks to Drew Remenda, and our thanks to you for listening. This is the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.